Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the program, we're visiting with Mr. Evan Powell, the co-founder and head of operations at Reprise, a demo creation platform that helps companies sell their product with their product. And Mr. Powell, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks so much for having me, Eric. Great to be here.
Yeah, great to have you with us. Looking forward to hearing all the details on Reprise. So a simple question for starters, what is Reprise and how did you and your co-founders come up with the idea for Reprise? That would be a great place to start.
Absolutely. Yeah, Reprise is a demo creation platform. So we allow sales and marketing teams at software companies to capture the front end, the UI, the interface of their software, and then create a demo version of it that they can easily edit and customize to their customers and put it out on their website, email it out to people, use it in live sales demos, what have you. So what we're really doing is allowing sales and marketing teams to turn their software into an asset for their go-to-market motion. We came up with this idea. It was in 2019, actually. My co-founder, Brian, thought of it first. He'd been leading a technical team at a startup here in Boston and realized he was spending $300,000 a year of engineering resources building a demo environment for his sales team to use. And then once he'd done that, his sales team didn't even like what they'd given them. And so, you know, he thought there has to be a better way to do this. And so he started talking to me, my background's in sales, and said, you know, hey, sales teams don't seem satisfied with what demos engineers can provide them. And, you know, I know engineering teams hate working on it and hate the cost of it. So, you know, do you think there's something there? And my background in sales, I said, yeah, absolutely. I've given tons of demos that have not gone the way I wanted, right? Because, you know, you get a one size fits all demo environment. So you're, you know, trying to demo to a healthcare company using data from a financial services company. And you're having to say like, oh, imagine this looks right for you, that kind of thing. And it doesn't quite land. Or, you know, you get someone who comes into your pipeline who really just wanted to understand what the product does. And they're early on in their process. And if you'd just been able to put that out on the website for them, you could have saved time and resources. So seemed like a really great idea. So the two of us got together and you know, everybody, I went out and did a lot of market research talking to sales and marketing leaders. Everybody I spoke to said, yeah, absolutely. We need something like that. And it's kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah. Thanks for filling us in from A to Z on that, from what is Reprise to how you came up with the idea. And you got to love that snowball effect for sure. Now, Reprise is a no code platform. That's always good for those that aren't so familiar with coding. And that's a phrase we always hear about more and more these days as well, especially on the program here. What exactly is no code for those that are not so familiar? And why is it becoming so popular for businesses of all sizes?
Yeah, no code, it's a really a broad umbrella. And so the way that we think about it is it's software that allows you to do complex things that traditionally you might have had to ask an engineer to write code for, but you don't need to know code in order to do it, right? That's the whole principle of no code. And I think the reason that it's getting such a lot of traction right now is, you know, there's a number of different factors that are pushing towards it. One big one was the pandemic, right? Where we're in a world, you know, Reprise is a fully remote company. A lot of companies are fully remote now, either by choice or not. And the upshot of that is people want to be able to accomplish tasks essential for their job on their own without having to rely on a bunch of other people in order to get basic things done. And so, you know, if you think about, like in our case, building a demo would have required the product team to prioritize it, the engineering team to build it, and then you'd have to go back to the business team. The business team would have to give feedback, and you create all these loops because fundamentally, the end user, the person who wanted to use the asset, which was a salesperson or a marketing person, doesn't have the ability to build it on their own. What no-code is doing is allowing us to take these, you know, more difficult, traditionally more difficult assets to build or projects to accomplish, and actually putting them in the hands of the end user who have a ton of skill and expertise, just not in the actual coding. And so I think that's why you're seeing, you know, platforms like Reprise really take off right now, because there's a lot of demand in the market for the end user to actually be able to accomplish tasks on their own. And in a world where software is more and more ubiquitous, those tasks involve software. And so, you know, that's traditionally been code, but now we're looking for at users who want to use the software without having to have that level of expertise.
Well, I have no doubt that you've piqued the audience's interest in that no code option. That's quite exciting, no doubt. Now, As you had mentioned at Reprise, you teach people how to sell their product with their product, something known as PLG. Why has this concept taken hold in the past few years? Get into some of those details.
Absolutely. Yeah. So PLG, or product-led growth, is, again, you know, a broad umbrella, but fundamentally what we think of it as is selling your product with your product. And this is, I think, a shift in the way that buyers are buying software now, right? So if you think about it previously, you know, in say 10 years ago, when I first got into selling, software stacks were generally smaller. Your typical software buyer had not bought very many things in the past. And so they were looking to have their hands held in a sales experience, right? They wanted to say, okay, come tell me what I don't know, software company, and help me understand what my problem is, and then consult me on the best way to solve it. And so, you know, I'll sit with you for 30 minutes and have a consulting session. And then maybe we'll look at the product once or twice, and then we'll run some sort of eval, and then we'll go through and buy something. And you know what, because I don't know what I don't know, I'm going to ask the salesperson to come in and meet with all of my executives as well, so we can have a committee experience, and we'll have the direct experience with the vendor. That's not what the software market is like today, right? These days, software stacks are much, much larger. And as a result, the buyers that you're talking to, they've all bought not just one thing before, they've bought 10 things before. And many of the things they bought before didn't work out for them. And so their patience for salespeople is much lower. And you see this, right? Connect rates are lower for salespeople who are out prospecting. Conversion rates are down across the board for sales opportunities. And this is because buyers have less patience. And they know what they want coming in. They're doing most of their research beforehand. And previously, you know, the initial way that the sales and marketing had reacted to this was by saying, well, we'll just do more, right? Cold calls aren't working, do more cold calls. Let's build tools that let us do even more cold calls. Emails aren't working, more emails, right? You know, we need to have more salespeople. And we're going to solve all this problem by just sort of continuing to do more of the activity we did previously, and that will compensate for the fact that the activities themselves are less effective. We've reached the point of diminishing returns on that, and sales and marketing teams really need to adjust to give buyers what they want. And instead of forcing the buyers to buy the way that they want to sell, we need to start looking at how we sell the way that people want to buy. And that's where product-led growth comes in. Right? What buyers are looking for now, they want to go on your website. Within 10 seconds, they want to know what you do. And within 30 seconds, they don't want to just know what you do. They want to know how you do it. Because they've been sold a song and dance before about how a piece of software is going to be great for them in the future. And then they get in and it's terrible to use. The user experience is frustrating. It, you know, actually deriving that ROI is painful. And they don't want to have a salesperson just sort of kind of go out and do a song and dance and then buy something. They really want to know what it feels like, and they want that earlier in the process. So what we're talking about with product-led growth is giving that to them right away, whether it is through a free trial offering, a freemium offering, or what we're seeing more and more is folks using platforms like Reprise to put a demo environment up on the website. So instead of having a salesperson do that demo, because a lot of times the buyer doesn't want to talk to a salesperson yet, they're still doing their research, they can do that demo on the website, then talk to a salesperson. And then when we talk about product-led growth, we're talking about putting your product first throughout the process. So then after they've taken that demo on the website, I want to have a meeting with the salesperson, and I don't want that meeting to be a rehash of what I saw on the website. I want to have a customized demo that looks like what my experience will be in the product. And then after that demo, I've learned now, I don't want to put salespeople in front of my executives. The last time I did that, I had, you know, a salesperson convince my CEO that we absolutely had to buy a piece of software that I didn't really want or something like that, or it didn't go well. I want to control what gets in front of my executives. Well, you still want to have your product in the room as someone who's selling software. And so what we're advocating is send out a demo that the prospect, the person buying, can give to that executive team. And then you can be in the room without being in the room. And now your buyer is going to feel more enabled because they're actually able to do what they want instead of having to navigate your process to try to extract what they want out of it. So that's fundamentally what we're thinking about when we talk about product-led growth is give the buyer what they want. And fundamentally, that is access to the product and understanding of how it's going to provide value to them as soon as possible.
Well, certainly do appreciate that thorough response. That is a big time helper, and it makes total sense as well. Today, we're speaking with Evan Powell, the co-founder and head of operations at Reprise, a demo creation platform that helps companies sell their product with their product. here on Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, your company launched at the start of the pandemic, and you've grown rapidly over the past 2 years. What are some of the challenges that you have faced and overcome in your first 2 years? I'm sure there's a lot to learn from some of those examples there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question. And it's one, you know, it took us by surprise. You know, my co-founders and I, we officially got together. We said, all right, we're going to, you know, turn down whatever opportunities we have, you know, leave our jobs, et cetera, the first week of March 2020. And the second week of March 2020, the whole world shut down. Right. So we've been kind of dealing with this situation from day one. I think, you know, one of the things we decided to do early was build a company that's fully remote. And that's been fantastic for us in a lot of ways, right? It means that we can hire the best talent in the country for every role that we have. It's also been something that's been challenging. And I think, you know, if you're looking at how to build a successful remote company, there are things that you need to be conscious about that you might not have if you're all in an office. So for example, you know, communication, you need to be extra conscious about communication, right? So we recently shifted to, now that we're a larger company, we do all hands meetings once every 2 weeks, where a typical startup might be once a month or even less frequently. And part of that is we want to have that FaceTime with everyone in the company, be talking about the mission, the vision, why we're doing this, how we're going to change the way that people sell software. Similarly, if you're onboarding remote folks, you need to be really conscious and thoughtful about how you bring in entry-level employees, right? Because, you know, a lot of us shifting to remote, we had a baseline understanding of what a job was and what our set of duties might be. And we're porting that into a remote setting. When you're looking to hire entry-level folks into a remote environment, you need to really try to sit down and take that point of view and understand what are the things they need to learn at a really basic level and design a training program that'll make sure that those people are successful. So I think it's something that can be a huge asset for you as a company, but it just changes the way you need to think about things. And that's you know, some of the things that we've had to deal with as we've grown.
Really do appreciate your sharing some of those challenges that you overcame. That certainly helps others overcome their challenges that they face as well. A lot to learn there. Also, what's next for Reprise? Anything in the works that we should be aware of?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, we're doing a number of things. We're going to be out at the SASTER conference in San Francisco or San Mateo next month, which we're really excited about. Kind of a big, I wouldn't call it an unveiling, because we've been building this space for 2 years now. We were the first people to come up with this tech and have been really kind of leading the charge on it. But it's going to be a great opportunity to finally get out and see people in person after, you know, building this whole thing during the pandemic. And so we're really excited for that. We're also continuing to expand our use cases. So we've now got a number of different ways to capture your front end so that we can make the perfect interactive sales demo where you can go and click anywhere, do anything you need to do, but still have it be in a controlled environment, or build out, you know, the ideal product tour to go on your website or in an email where it's more, you know, guided, linear, making sure that people, you're able to tell a really good value story quickly. So those are some things we've been really excited about launching. It's all kind of up and to the right from here.
Mr. Powell, we want to thank you for your time and for joining us here today. A truckload of some great insight and information shared, and we can't thank you enough. Before you go, and in conclusion, love to tap further into the well there, if you will. What is one tip you would give a startup that is ready to hit its next stage of growth? Anything you could share in those regards?
Absolutely. I think, you know, right now we're in a bit of an uncertain economic situation. You know, we're not exactly sure, you know, are we headed into a recession? Tech companies are nervous, that kind of thing. And so one of the things that this environment provides is an opportunity. If you sit down and think about your messaging, and how are you a solution that's going to help someone in an uncertain economic environment? So at Reprise, for example, we're talking about things like, hey, you're not going to get more resources on your sales engineering team to help you build out that demo. You're not going to be able to, you know, spend a bunch of money on a consultant to build something out on your website. So we're able to provide value in a tighter environment. I think anyone who is starting something right now or looking to take it to the next level needs to think about how can you message, because we've come through a few years of a real tech boom. I mean, even during the pandemic, you know, funding was through the roof. Now we're in a scenario where companies are starting to think about their budgets. I think every startup, every entrepreneur, everyone who's doing something new needs to think about how do I provide value in that environment and try to get ahead of it.
Really do appreciate those concluding remarks and advice. Much appreciated. Again, if listeners wanted to be in touch with you and or to get more information on Reprise and to tap into that, Where's the best place online to do so?
You can find us over on reprise.com. We are on LinkedIn. We post quite frequently, and we're on Twitter at GetReprise.
Easy enough, and we'll leave that link and other links within the show notes of this broadcast for the convenience of the audience. Again, Mr. Powell, all the best, and hopefully we can catch up with you again in the future right here on Enterprise Radio. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Eric. It was great to be here.
Certainly was our pleasure. Anytime, we've been speaking with Mr. Evan Powell, the co-founder and head of operations at Reprise, a demo creation platform that helps companies sell their product with their product. And for all the details, visit reprise.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.